My name's Andy O'Rourke, on staff here as well. Glad to have you with us. If you're new today, especially, we want to give you a welcome. And if you may not know, or you may have heard for the first time, I'm sure, that we have a potluck meal together after the service today. We'd love you if you're new, and anyone else that's able to stay around today after the service. We have plenty of food. We're going to grill. People brought some things, sides and desserts, so great chance to get to know each other and kind of kick off the fall here together. So we'd love to have you here for that. Today is kind of a bittersweet day. We're finishing up our summer series that we've been on through the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 23 today, and we've been working through about Psalm 11 through 23 over the course of this summer, same thing that we did last summer. And it's been a fun series. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm sad that that's ending, and I'm also sad that that means summer is almost ending, and you can feel that outside too. But today we are in Psalm 23 as we finish that up. Let me pray for us before we open up God's Word this morning and look at a familiar psalm to many of us. Maybe you're not familiar with it, and this will be a great chance for you to hear more about it today. So let's bow together and pray. God, thank you for this time. We pray that you would use your word now to shape, to correct, to inform, influence our view of you and who you are and the kind of God that you are for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be changed in our perspective today as we look to you, as we learn about you as our shepherd, as our host. And Lord, would you, as our thinking about you changes and grows, would you, Lord, cause that to change our lives? We pray that you would change us through the power of your Spirit, renew our minds, renew our lives, Lord, and maybe even for some of us, make us your children for the very first time today through faith in Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide this time, these next moments, as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned, we're looking at one of the most familiar psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of poetry. It's was the hymn book of ancient Israel, and we have 150 of them preserved for us in Scripture in the Old Testament. We're in Psalm 23, and the lines, as you think about Psalm 23, if you are familiar with it, a lot of images probably come to mind right away. Green pastures, a shepherd leading, etc. And this psalm, it has been used in a lot of different contexts, a lot of different places. You may have heard it at a funeral, and you may have also heard it in gangster rap lyrics. It's been in there too. So there are a lot of different places where you see this psalm even in the culture that we live in. But the most important question really to ask about Psalm 23 is not what rap song has it been in, but what does it teach us about God? What does Psalm 23 teach us about God? Listen to this quote by a Christian author from several decades ago, A.W. Tozer, in his book called The Knowledge of the Holy, which I would highly recommend. It looks at the character attributes of God. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy. The very first sentence, page 1, chapter 1, Tozer says this: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, why would he say that? Why is our thinking about God so important? Well, part of the answer to that is because the way that we think about God, our perspective towards God, shapes our perspective of ourselves and then influences the way that we live our lives. So everything that we do every day is related in that way to how we think about God. We have misconceptions about God, all of us, and some of them we don't even know. Oftentimes those are blind spots that we don't see, but our misconceptions about God, they influence how we view ourselves, other people, how we view the world around us, how we view our lives each day. Let me give you an example. If you grew up without a model of a loving father in your home, maybe you didn't have a father figure in your home, or maybe the earthly father that you did have was one that you would rather forget about. Well, that's going to influence your view of God as father. That's going to influence how you look at God because of your experience here. That's what we're talking about. And all of us have areas where we need to grow in our perspective toward who God is because of our lives. In Psalm 23, David, King David, he personally describes a couple very important characteristics or truths about God. He talks about God as shepherd, and he talks about God as host. And that's kind of how the structure, how the psalm is structured around those two themes about who God is. And corresponding to that, David thinks of himself and he thinks of the people of God as sheep, corresponding to God as shepherd, and then as guests, corresponding to God as host. And he uses these analogies, this imagery throughout the psalm. Let me read it for us, and then we're gonna dive in and learn what he tells us about God. Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here's the question that we're asking this morning. What does it mean that the Lord, the God of the universe, what does it mean that he is our shepherd, and what does it mean that he's a host for us, for his people? Well, let's dive in. Look at the first image here in the text. God, our shepherd. God is our shepherd. Verses 1 through 4 speak to that, and then verses 5 through 6 talk about God as our host. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but let's look at verses 1 through 4. God, our shepherd. It's a very personal psalm. Very personal. Most of it, in fact, almost all of it is in the first person. David speaking about his personal experience and relationship with the Lord, with God. If anyone knows what it means to be a shepherd, it's David. You may know that God called David out of shepherding, out of the sheepfolds, the psalm says, to be king of Israel. David had spent many years as a shepherd watching over sheep, and God brings him from watching over animals to watching over and shepherding people, this people of Israel, as his king. You could look, for example, at the end of Psalm 78. It talks about that a little bit, David being taken from watching sheep to being king. And there's three main ways that David lays out that God is a shepherd that cares for his sheep, for his people, for his followers. The first one is in verse 1. The shepherd God provides. The shepherd provides. David begins with this declaration about God, about who he is, and then everything else flows from that. The Lord is my shepherd. Now notice, as I said, this word that David uses, my, this is very personal. It's a relationship with the shepherd, day in and day out, touching, being around him, rubbing shoulders with him. It's a shepherd that's in his life, not just an idea or a God that is distant and far away, but his shepherd. It's a personal relationship. You could think of that corporately as the people of God or individually. It's this personal relationship with the shepherd. And then the next phrase that David uses flows out of that reality of God as shepherd. He says, I shall not want. That's the result of God being the shepherd. One of the first implications that comes to David's mind is because God is my shepherd in my life, as one of his children, as a follower of the one true God, I don't have to want. In other words, I don't have to be in want. Everything I have, everything I need, because I have God, is provided for me. God, the shepherd, provides. That's what David is getting at here. Listen to what one commentator says about this. He writes, in contrast to goats, who are quite independent, sheep depend on the shepherd to find pasture and water for them. Shepherds also provide shelter, medication, and aid in birthing. In some, listen to this, they are virtually helpless without the shepherd. Sheep are virtually helpless without the shepherd. That's the picture that David is painting. You, me, us, apart from the shepherd, We're on our own. We're helpless. We're helpless. But he provides for us. Well, how else does the shepherd care for his flock? Look what he says, verses 2 and 3. The shepherd leads. Look at the words that David uses to describe these actions of the shepherd. He says, he makes, he leads, he restores, and then he leads. He says that twice. And part of where God is leading, he starts off by telling us in verse 2, it's to green pastures. It's beside still waters, pleasant places of refreshment, of rest, and God making those, leading his sheep, his people, to those. Now think about this in terms of the analogy that he's using. In an arid desert climate, this is a lush environment that God is providing, a lush, rich environment. You may not know this, but sheep won't drink out of a moving, rushing, or turbulent water. They're terrified of it. So the picture is God taking us to water that is calm, that is fresh. And in the process, verse 3, restoring our soul. It's part of what God the shepherd does. He doesn't merely just care for physical needs like you would for sheep. This is where the analogy breaks down a little bit, because now talking about people, there's more than just physical needs. There's more than just food and thirst. There's spiritual needs. And God cares for the internal soul, heart needs, deep spiritual renewal. That's what David is describing. And talking about how God, the shepherd, he brings restoration, he brings healing to broken, tired, discouraged, and fearful people at the soul level. I mean, it's good news. It's an amazing picture that David is painting here of God, the shepherd of people, not just sheep. And then again, we see his leading in verse 3 in paths of righteousness, the way that is right, the way of following the Lord. God is directing us, leading us that direction. We've seen that all through the Psalms so far, these descriptions of the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness. And the way of righteousness is the way of knowing the Lord, knowing who he is, and then having a life that's transformed and changed by following him, by being a person of his word, listening to what he says, and following in that path. That's the picture David is continuing here. Now, maybe you've seen, maybe you've actually done this, or maybe you've seen a movie or a show about this, but have you ever seen like a horse rancher where they're behind the herd of horses and driving them forward with a whip from behind, pushing them somewhere through the pasture, through the ranch or whatnot? Now think about God. God, as the shepherd, he leads from the front. He's not leading from behind. The Lord isn't driving or prodding or whipping or pushing his people. God is guiding from the front, leading, going before us. That's the picture here that we have of God as the shepherd of his people. It's a beautiful picture. And all of this, David says, is for his name's sake. In other words, God acting ultimately in our lives for his glory. And in the process, God is glorifying and exalting his own name, and we are being satisfied in him in the process. Beautiful picture. We're glorified. He's satisfied. He's providing for us. He's leading for us. And then this third image in verse 4, the shepherd protects. Provides, leads, and now protects. Life for a sheep doesn't only consist of green pastures. Look at what he says again in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when God is your shepherd, where do you get to go? The valley of the shadow of death. Sounds like a nice place, right? Not really. Well, what David is describing, and he can't even... The language is, he's straining to paint this picture of deep darkness, a valley of deep darkness, of death, the most terrifying place you can think of, especially if you're a sheep in the shadows. Rough terrain, bandits, beasts. But look what he so confidently concludes. Even though he's in this valley of the shadow of death and deep darkness, he says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Not because David is such a strong person or a warrior or a great king, but it's because of the shepherd that is leading him. That because of who God is, David is able to say, because of that, I don't have any reason to fear this valley of deep darkness. I mean, what a huge statement to be unafraid. God is present in the midst of the valley. When we sign up to follow the shepherd, like David, he takes us into the valley with him. And God is leading the way through that valley. The shepherd has like a rod and a staff for guidance and also defense. The weapon of the shepherd, the weapons of the shepherd are a source of comfort to his people, but not something you want to see if you're on the enemy side of this shepherd and of this God. And therefore, we feel his protection and his care. David's using this image to talk about how God is his protector as the shepherd. Now, think about this in our lives. God doesn't promise to keep his people from danger, from hardship, from suffering, from trial. And here's the key that David is getting at. Sometimes we think of Psalm 23 in the first couple verses with this meadow and stream and God the shepherd caring for us and cuddling us or as his sheep or whatever. But then he switches to the reality of the world that we live in, right? The shepherd protects his people not by keeping them from Death Valley, but actually by walking through it with them and really leading the way into that valley, taking us into the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's how God refines us, works in us, transforms us. He takes us down into that valley. He leads the way. And then he walks through it with us, side by side. Listen to what one commentator, Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Psalms, he says, only the Lord can lead a man through death. All other guides turn back, and the traveler must go on alone. But even at the doorway of physical death in this life, God's there. God's leading the way. For those who know him, who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God shepherds us even through that door to eternity with him. Even the darkest valley, death itself. If we don't believe, if we don't understand how God leads us through dark valleys, our expectation of the life of a sheep and what that looks like, the life of a follower of Jesus, it's going to be very misinformed, and we're going to be very, very discouraged and disillusioned. David paints us a realistic picture of how God works in the lives of his sheep, leading them, being with them in the midst of the valley of deep darkness. Then he transitions from this shepherd imagery. In verses 5 and 6, he starts talking about the Lord as host. He's shepherd, now he's host. Well, how do we know that the image has shifted? Well, he begins to use these descriptions of a table, a cup, a house, things that would relate to a banquet, to a meal, mealtime. It suggests this new image. It's an image that's very familiar in the ancient Near Eastern culture because a lot of life revolved around community, meals, family, gathering together around meals in the closest relationships that you had. Now, imagine for a moment. Imagine the most incredible setting for a picnic that you could think of. A summer picnic. The most incredible setting. Maybe it's a meadow. Maybe it's beside a lake. Mountains in the background. Maybe it's on the edge of the sea. Wherever. The most incredible image of a picnic, what would it look like? Picture that in your mind. Psalm 23 is describing that. A banquet, just a lavish picnic that the Lord is setting out, a banquet table. But the picture is that banquet is in the middle of a hostile war zone. Because it's in what David has just talked about. the valley of the shadow of death. That's where the banquet's being set up. Enemies all around. A hostile environment. But it doesn't matter because God is there. That's what David's getting at. And he's a gracious host that in the midst of this hostile war zone of this world as a sheep, God is there, God is with us, and God is lavishing his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness upon us and setting out this banquet table for his people. Verse 6 refers to the goodness, the mercy of the Lord. And the word that's used here is one that's common in the Psalms. It's the Hebrew word hesed. And it has to do with the unfailing kindness, the covenant love of the Lord, the devotion of the Lord. A love or affection that's steadfast, that's based on a relationship. That's the word that David uses. The goodness and mercy, the covenant love of God. And look at the benefits that this host, or that the guests of the host experience. The feast spread upon the table, the anointing with oil, a cup that overflows, the experience of goodness and mercy all the days of my life, and then even beyond this life, a dwelling in the Lord's house forever. So if we're in the family of God, if we're one of God's people through faith in Jesus Christ, we're never like the annoying relative that wears out their welcome. The Lord puts us up in his mansion, in his house for all eternity, and loves to have us there and welcomes us there in security as shepherd, as host. I mean, talking about an amazing situation for those that know God, that follow God, have a forever home with God. He lavishes his grace, his love upon his people in this life and the next. Well, as we've been asking, as we look at the Psalms, we'll ask again here, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in Psalm 23? How does Psalm 23 point us to Jesus? And it's not a very big leap at all because it points us directly to him. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ actually embodies the character of the shepherd, of God as shepherd. Jesus shows us in the flesh what that looks like. I'll give you three examples. It talks about in the New Testament, Jesus being the good shepherd. Listen to John chapter 10, Jesus' words here. John 10 verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. This beautiful picture of Jesus as the good shepherd with his flock and wanting to ever expand that flock, to bring others into the flock, into the family. It's a picture of Jesus wanting to reach people with who he is, to come to know him and experience his shepherd love, the good shepherd. So Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd over his church, over the leaders of his people. 1 Peter 5 talks about that. Jesus is the eternal shepherd. Listen to Revelation 7, verse 17, the very last book of the Bible. It says, "For the Lamb," speaking of Jesus, "in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So Jesus shepherds us now as his followers, and he's going to be our shepherd for all eternity. That's what Revelation is saying. When sin and death is gone forever. To follow Jesus is to follow the Lord, our shepherd. And Jesus is also, with the second image of a host, Jesus is a generous host. He invites us to partake of his banquet as members of his family. And he wants to ever enlarge the chairs that are pulled up to that banquet table. And if you don't have a chair pulled up to that banquet table, Jesus doesn't want you to stay as an outsider, but to come in to the banquet. And he offers you now, today, to know him as your Lord, as your Savior, to follow him and experience that shepherd love through a relationship with Jesus? Have you been included in God's family through faith in Jesus Christ? You can know this shepherd, not at a distance, but personally, just like David says. You can say, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to look at a couple implications here as we wrap up Psalm 23. What are some ways that we should respond to this? Here's a couple. Number one, we should be encouraged, comforted, and respond with grateful worship to the Lord. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but this is an obvious one that we don't want to miss. We should look at a psalm like Psalm 23 and say, man, it is awesome to be a sheep, right? It is awesome to be part of God's people because you get to experience a shepherd like this. You have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to go through this life and beyond this life with a God like this, responding in encouragement, comfort, worship to him. The second implication I want to spend a little more time on is that God's leadership that we see here as a shepherd, it gives us an example of how to lead others. The imagery of a shepherd is throughout both the Old and New Testaments. And it's used as God as our shepherd, but then it's also used in a similar way to speak of the type of leader that we should be, the type of leaders that you should be. Now, you can think of a lot of different contexts for leadership. A lot of us have areas in our lives where we are in some position of influence, some place of leadership, whether that's as a parent in the home, whether that's in your neighborhood, whether that's in your workplace, whether that's in the church family context, a place of leadership in the church, either leading community groups or a ministry team. A lot of us have positions and areas of influence and leadership. And there's a lot that we can learn about how God leads us as a shepherd and therefore what it looks like to be a good leader in our lives as we follow the chief shepherd. Well, what does a bad shepherd look like? Let's talk about that first. I wish we had more time to explore this, but jot down a couple different places to see some of the worst descriptions of shepherds in the Bible. Ezekiel 34 in the Old Testament and Matthew 23. Ezekiel 34, Matthew 23. Interestingly, both of those passages, God is very upset with religious people that are leading very, very badly and horrible shepherds. They're selfish. They're self-centered. To be a bad shepherd, you're feeding yourself while the sheep go hungry. You're ignoring the brokenness and the needs of the sheep, of those you lead. You're failing to point those you lead to the great shepherd, to God. You're exploiting the sheep. You're benefiting from their loss. You're driving the sheep harshly and forcefully to get what you want, stepping on others to get ahead with your goals or your agenda. You're failing to protect the sheep against enemies. There's more that we could say about that, but that's a bad shepherd. Well, how are leaders to shepherd those under your care? Look at Psalm 23 again. Think of the image that we saw of God as shepherd. If you're a good shepherd leader, whether in the church family or outside, in the marketplace, in the world around us, pointing the sheep to their true provision in God, leading as an example of Jesus, leading with a humble, self-sacrificing, unselfish attitude. Always operating with the best interests of the sheep in mind, with those that you lead, being other-oriented, feeding the sheep with the word of God, providing for them, caring for the needs of the sheep, not just physical, but deeper. Protecting, guarding the sheep, fighting off enemies, leading the sheep down the path of righteousness, making sure the sheep are, especially in the context of the church community, making sure that the spotlight is on Jesus the shepherd and not you. That you're leading and pointing the sheep to the chief shepherd. to God the shepherd. And then even picking up on this imagery of a host, as a leader, shouldn't we be the ones that are setting the example of hospitality, a life that is open, that we were inviting others into the experience of this family, to the experience of what it's like to be part of this sheepfold, right? That's part of what it means to be a leader, a shepherd, a host. Let me leave us with this question as we reflect on this psalm. How does understanding God as your shepherd and host encourage you to delight yourself more in the Lord today? Think about specifically in your life, how do the truths that we see here in Psalm 23 about God, how does that apply to what you're facing? Maybe you're in one of those seasons where things are going well and you're by the meadow, the green pastures, the quiet waters. Or maybe you're in one of those seasons where, man, the valley is dark and deep and you're in the valley of the shadow of death. In both of those scenarios, same shepherd. Circumstances are different, but it's the same shepherd. How does God want to encourage you today with who he is and me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are. Expand our view, Lord, blow it up so that we can have a larger view of who you are and in the process delight in you and be changed by you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kindness, for your covenant love, your mercy in our lives. We thank you for Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life on our behalf so that we can know you through faith in him. Lord, that's the message of the gospel, and we give you praise and thanks.